Live from historic downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, home of founding father James Wilson, 19th century hymn writer George Duffield, 19th century gospel minister George Norcross, and sports legend Jim Thorpe. It's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now here's your host, Chris Arnson.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth. We're listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnson, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Thursday on this 20th day of July, 2023. And I have the honor and privilege and joy to have on this program for the very first time Emmy Award-winning actor Steve Carell, who many of you know from the sitcom The Office. I'm just kidding. If you go to Christopher Thoma's website, you'll see a photograph of him, and I think he bears a striking resemblance to Steve Carell, but I don't know if I'm alone on that opinion. Christopher Thoma is our guest today, who is senior pastor of Our Savior Evangelical Lutheran Church of Heartland, Michigan. He's director of the annual The Body of Christ in the Public Square Conference. He is a speaker at various political conferences, Right to Life and Lutherans for Life assemblies, and theological symposia. Partner with Tier 1 thinkers, frequently sharing the stage with prominent newsmakers such as Ben Shapiro, Dennis Prager, Dinesh D'Souza, Candace Owens, Charlie Kirk, and others. He is the author of a number of books which have received notable endorsements from Charlie Kirk, Sheriff David Clark, Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin, and others, and recipient of a Distinguished Fellowship Award from Salt and Light Global Wilberforce Academy, an extension of the Great Lakes Justice Center. Today we are going to be addressing his book, 10 Ways to Kill a Pastor, and I think that is probably one of the most brilliant titles a book has ever received. It's my honor and privilege to welcome you for the very first time to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Reverend Christopher I. Thoma.
Hi, Chris. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Before we have you do something that we always have our first-time guests do, which is give a summary of your salvation testimony, please tell us about Our Savior Evangelical Lutheran Church of Heartland, Michigan, which is a member of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod.
Our Savior in Heartland, we are a confessional, conservative Lutheran congregation. Just in sort of a snapshot, we embrace and hold fast to the historic rites and ceremonies of the church. If you walk in, you would notice that right away, that we're very conservative in that way. We also have as a primary mission extension of the congregation a tuition-free preschool through eighth grade day school. That's something that we consider, again, a primary mission of the congregation. It extends out into the community. We serve a variety of communities in this area, several counties. Folks come from various areas to come to our school, come to our congregation. In fact, we have folks who drive every Sunday to be with us, sometimes over an hour. So we're glad to be where we are. We're glad to be doing what we're doing and seeking faithfulness to Christ and all of that, and going forth in a world that's becoming less and less, if not completely, intolerant of Christianity as a whole. So, but we stand firm in the faith and we go forward in faithfulness.
Amen. And I had your colleague do this, Jameson Hardy, and I'll have you do the same thing. There is constant confusion by many people, perhaps modern evangelicals predominantly, perhaps even Roman Catholics, who have no understanding about Lutheranism, especially when it comes to the conservative denominations representing Lutheranism. And I might add, and I think you would probably agree with me, the only authentic Lutheran churches, those that have become very leftist, are, I believe, apostate. Not that every individual who is a part of them is apostate, but there are churches wearing the name Lutheran that I would never trust to do anything of value. And I would think that you would likely agree with me on that.
Yeah, I would. I would agree.
Distinguish between the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod and some other of the conservative Bible-believing, confessional Lutheran churches that would be equally repulsed and horrified by things that have come out lately in the news, such as the Sparkle Creed.
The Sparkle Creed, the infamous Sparkle Creed. Not all that interesting as a creed in general, somewhat ridiculous, but yeah, I won't speak for some of the other denominations. I'll speak as a Lutheran Church Missouri Synod pastor. We are a Bible believing faithful conservative synod denomination. We stand firm on the Word of God as the sole source for faith, life, and practice. But I would offer that in contrast to what you've already described. Unfortunately, when anybody goes out in search of the Lutheran perspective on things, they typically land at the doorstep of the ELCA, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. And unfortunately, they're by no means a Lutheran denomination, except that the name is there. And perhaps at some point in their forthcoming future, they'll simply remove that because it doesn't fit.
Yeah, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, the largest denomination bearing
the name.
Yeah,
it is the largest.
And they are neither evangelical nor Lutheran.
Yeah, exactly. They aren't. And just, you know, shooting straight, the only thing anybody really needs to know about the ELCA essentially is in its principal doctrine is its handling of the Word of God. So they can do the things that they do and say the things that they say and come up with these ridiculous creeds because of one particular doctrine that they hold. And it's their formal practice that, say, for example, the inspiration of Scripture, they'll say that, and this is their doctrine, these are their words, not mine, that the Bible contains the Word but is not itself the Word. So now when you do that, you've already ventured into the subjective realm of being able to say, well, you know, whatever I find in the Bible, if I can select this part and I can select this part and I can select this part and I can throw out the stuff that I want, which is why you see in the ELCA, again, you see women's ordination, you see homosexuality, abortion, you see all these things being embraced and all of it sort of walking in stride together because everybody's kind of free to do and say and be anything they want according to doctrines like that. That is not the Missouri Synod. The Missouri Synod doesn't believe that. We believe in the inspiration of the Scriptures. We believe in its inerrancy. We believe in its immutability, that it's unchanging from the time it was given to the time we have it. So that's a broad distinction between us, a very defined distinction between us. That's really all anybody, I think, really needs to know in that regard. You can do pretty much and be pretty much anything you want. There's an absolute embracing, I think, of radical individualism as we'd understand it today in that particular denomination.
Yes, they don't.
And of course, a world that gravitates toward that, you would see why that might grow, might become a denomination that gets larger because it's really more of a cult in that sense than it is anything else. Especially when you're rejecting the Word as it is, you're rejecting Christ, who is the Word made flesh. You can't call yourself a Christian and do that. So
right. In fact, they don't even merely accept things that are an abomination to God, they celebrate them.
Which you should expect.
Yes.
Yeah, it should be expected.
Well, I don't know if it's true with the Elka Church that we've been discussing, But many of the liberal mainline churches are actually shrinking to near non-existence in the, as far as the numbers of congregants that they have, because people are realizing, why do I need a church, to be involved in things that they are doing here at this, mainline leftist, church that has become nothing more than a socialist social club. So they find it very easy to do those things and those activities in their own life on their own or in other political activist groups and so on.
I think you're probably right. And if you do any research on the Great Decline, you know, you dig into Barna's numbers and places like that, I think you're also going to find an interesting trajectory that lines up with these liberal churches. And that's also happening in a lot of the mainstream evangelical churches that are spending more of their time trying to sell the gospel than they are trying to preach it and teach it. So that's something that's not only happening in the liberal churches, but it's happening worldwide, nationwide here in America. The more folks are trying to align with the world, align with the culture around them so that they're nearly indistinguishable from the world and the culture around them. I think you're seeing a response from not only current generations, but even a relatively recent generations as to the, we don't need this. You know, we need substance. We need something that is actually holy, is actually significant. And so you see major declines. You see giving going down. You see pews empty. I think it's something if we studied it, we could look at it in a lot of different ways, and you'd see that.
If anybody lives in Heartland, Michigan, or is traveling through there, or if you have family, friends, and loved ones who live in or near there, and you want to investigate Our Savior Lutheran, Evangelical Lutheran Church and School in Heartland, Michigan, go to OurSaviorHeartland.org, Our Savior, HARTLAND.org. And by the way, I mentioned briefly earlier that I had interviewed already, in fact, on July 14th, not long ago, I interviewed the associate pastor of Our Savior Evangelical Lutheran Church of Heartland, Michigan, Jameson Hardy, who is not only the associate pastor there, but he's also the 21st president and bishop of the English District of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. If you want to look up his interview on the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Archive, just type in Hardy, H-A-R-D-Y, and it will come up eventually. My webmaster, unfortunately, due to his responsibilities with his full-time job, has fallen behind a little bit, but hopefully that recording will be archived there very soon. Now, Jameson Hardy, being not only the 21st president and bishop of the English District of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and also your associate pastor, does that make him both a subordinate and a superior to you at the same time?
It does. It's kind of a strange paradoxical reality. I can tell him to get my coffee, but if I get brought up on charges, he's the one that's going to handle it. So no, he and I, he's a great friend. He's a good friend. We make a great team. I think we're on the same page on pretty much everything. And I'm glad to have him here with us. He's an asset to this congregation, and again, he's a friend. He's a good guy, and he is a pastor's pastor, which is what you want in the seat of bishop. It's the kind of guy you want as an ecclesiastical supervisor, somebody who will. Actually, that's somewhat relative to the book you wanted me to talk about, 10 Ways to Kill a Pastor. It makes a difference to the men in the trenches when they go into conflict, when they go into struggles, to know that their bishop, that their district president is not out to get them, but is actually there to help shepherd them through that and to care for them and have that concern. When you don't have that, you find yourself in much darker places. And Jameson Hardy he's a guy who will seek to be faithful to his Lord first, knowing that he can be faithful to you if he's faithful to Christ. So I appreciate that about him. We make a good team.
Yeah, I bet you do, because I really enjoyed interviewing him very much. And let me give a plug to his book, Pastoral Leadership, Shepherding and Caring for God's People, which you can purchase at the Concordia Publishing House website. That's cph.org, cph.org. And do the same thing in their search engine. Type in H-A-R-D-Y, and that will come up. Well, as I hinted at before, we have a tradition here in Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Whenever we have a first-time guest, we have that guest give a summary of their salvation testimony, which would include any kind of religious atmosphere in which they were raised, any kind of providential circumstances that our sovereign Lord raised up in their lives that drew them to himself and saved them. And obviously, although there's one gospel, there are many different ways in which our Lord has led people to discover and embrace the gospel. Sometimes they are raised in a Christian home and have been nurtured in the scriptures and in the Christian faith since infancy. And they perhaps don't have a radical conversion experience that they can recall. Or sometimes even if they've been raised in the faith, they have prodigal son and prodigal daughter experiences where they have abandoned the faith of their childhood and so on. But tell us about your story.
Well, I am a product, and any Lutheran out there listening should expect me to say this, and I believe it wholeheartedly. I'm a product of the Lord's mandate in Matthew's gospel as to how Christians are made. I was baptized and raised in the faith, as you were describing, that being raised in the faith, that twofold mandate to baptize and to teach them all things that I've commanded you. I was baptized as a child, and I think the better blessing that I could probably share in this story is that the raising in the Christian faith was something that happened to me in a Lutheran day school, in a Lutheran school. I had a wonderful Christian education from the time I entered school and from the time I left it. And the pastors that I was involved with there, the teachers that I had, showed great care for me, great interest in me. And I had a little bit of a unique experience as a child, not that much more different than a lot of other people. I won't necessarily go into, but I was able to have that interest from those around me who invested theologically in me, perhaps seeing that one day down the line, even though I had no intention of ever becoming a pastor necessarily, one day down the line that was a possibility. And so here I am, doing what it is that I'm doing, and I give thanks to the Lord every day for his blessings to me, to my family, and now the congregation and school in which I serve.
And how did you realize that God had placed a call upon your life to the pastoral ministry?
Well, I don't know. I mean, a lot of folks have that moment when they know that. I honestly, Chris, I don't really even remember. I mean, I remember I went into college to become a teacher. I graduated as an elementary school teacher, essentially elementary education degree. I ended up getting a Director of Christian Education certification and degree because I don't mean this to be offensive to anyone, but because it was easy. I was so invested in my own education, and I thought, well, I'm going to go ahead and get this. I ended up, my first call out of college was to be a DCE, a Director of Christian Education for a congregation. And so I moved to Michigan. I grew up in Illinois, went to university in Illinois, a university in Illinois. I went to Concordia University in River Forest. And my first call, again, was to meet my wife here. It was a wonderful call to the congregation. I served alongside John Vicar, Reverend Dr. John Vicar, who went on to become the assistant to our synod's president and is now teaching at the St. Louis Seminary. I was with him for many years and then ended up for a short time in Pennsylvania and then here back in Michigan again, where I am now. When I got back here to Michigan, I served as that education director for about 4 or 5 years in this congregation right here where I am still. And then I, you know, remember one day walking into the office of the senior pastor at the time and saying, you know, I think I'm going to go to the seminary. I mean, that's literally how it happened. I think I'm going to go to the seminary. And he said, well, great. And the next thing you know, I was testing out of the languages in the summer, and then I started up at the seminary that very next fall. I don't remember really anything from the time I said, hey, I'm going to go, to the time I got there. And I think that's probably a good thing, because had I had more time to think about it, I might have decided to, I don't know, go into politics. Or my original love was to go to the Air Force Academy. That's where I was originally heading off to, because I wanted to fly fighter jets. I am where I am, and the Lord has placed me here, and I can't see myself anywhere else.
Well, praise God. Now, how did you get involved in the political arena, and even to the point where you have shared the stage with such prominent newsmakers as Ben Shapiro, Dennis Prager, Dinesh D'Souza, Candace Owens, and Charlie Kirk, and others?
That's another situation where it's completely divine. I was pestered for a while by someone I know to get more engaged. And again, I don't know if they saw something in me. I guess maybe they did, that perhaps I could do something out there like that. But I was pestered for a while to join a group of pastors in Washington, D.C. for various debriefing kind of situations and, you know, things like that. And I eventually agreed to go. I'll make a long story short. I'm a homebody. I like being home. Although I should say I did spend some time, some summers teaching, doing things in Russia, places like that. But, I like being home. So anyway, I went to this thing in Washington, D.C., traveling along with a group of pastors. And, I was walking in front of the Supreme Court building, and I was just coming up to the light to cross the street. Everybody who knows me knows the story, because this is kind of where it started for me. Was coming up to the light to cross. And as I'm walking up to this light, to the stoplight, there are two gentlemen there who are standing, and they're just kind of looking at me. And I'm the only guy wearing a clerical collar. All the other pastors with me are wearing ties and suits. And so I'm the only one they can identify as a representative of the church, which, by the way, Chris, I would encourage others to pay attention to that. you can have these conversations when people can identify you. So, but anyway, the guy just kind of said out of the blue, you're what's wrong with America. I mean, that's how he started the conversation. I was just totally blown away by that. I've never had somebody, you know, just more or less verbally attack me like that. So I spent about 20 minutes right there at the corner by that stoplight, right in front of the Supreme Court, talking to this person, talking to both of them. Turns out they're both lobbyists. And, it was a good opportunity to have dialogue. I explained to them what I was doing there. They explained to me why they had a position on absolute separationism in church and state. And I communicated to them how I'm more of an accommodationist, which is what I would say the founding fathers were. And from then on out, you know, when I went home, I realized I got to get in the game. I have got to get in the game, and I need to start teaching and talking and engaging in ways. And so from then, the Lord opened up doors in a lot of ways. I found myself visiting with guys like Dinesh D'Souza and Dennis Prager and people like that. And over the course of the last probably 8 years, these relationships have blossomed into the ability to do this conference that I do, that I orchestrate, which is very soon. We just became a 501c3, which is very soon going to start sort of franchising it, planting it across the United States. I've been able to speak with and sort of partner with various tier one speakers, people who are influencers in that way. And not because there's sort of a vanity thing there, but because they've embraced what it is that we're about in our efforts, and they want to help us move the ball down the field. So, which essentially the ball is religious liberty. We want to preserve the opportunity for churches to preach and teach the gospel in America unhindered and without fear. So that's what we do. That's what we're all about. And these guys get on board. They help us with it.
Amen. Wouldn't it be a joy to see Ben Shapiro and Dennis Prager come to Christ?
It would be. And I have to say, Ben will comment on this at some point if he's listening. We sat in my office and we talked about the Logos before he came in to speak. And he has a completely different understanding of that text from John chapter 1. However, we were able to talk just a little bit about Christ as the Word made flesh, what that text from John 1 is talking about and what it's pointing toward. And, you know, Paul talks about seasoning your speech with the salt of the gospel. Every opportunity to give that gospel is an opportunity for the Holy Spirit to work to change hearts. And any chance I get to have those kinds of conversations, I do.
Praise God. We're going to our first commercial break. And if anybody would like to join the discussion, you have a question for Christopher I. Toma, senior pastor of Our Savior Evangelical Lutheran Church in Heartland, Michigan. Our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. As always, give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. And since our conversation is focusing upon 10 Ways to Kill a Pastor, the book written by my guest, obviously, if you have a situation, a negative experience as a pastor or even as a congregant, and you don't want to draw attention to your identity, we will respect your request to remain anonymous. But if you're just asking a general question, we ask of you to please give us your first name at least, city and state, and country residence. Don't go away. We are going to be right back with Christopher I. Toma after these messages from our sponsors.
The Mid-Atlantic Reformation Society presents The Future of Christendom 2023, The Gospel at War, September 15th through the 16th in Lancaster County, Pennsylvania, featuring Dr. James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. Come join us for our sixth Future of Christendom Conference. The event will take place at Spooky Nook Sports in Mannheim, Pennsylvania, and will run from Friday evening through all day Saturday, with an invitation to the Sunday morning worship service of the Independence Reformed Bible Church. Registration is required, and lunch will be provided on Saturday. This will be a weekend packed with practical teaching, with the theme of the gospel at war in many areas of our culture, including government schools, the Supreme Court, missions, feminism, and even the church pulpits. Dr. James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries will be the keynote speaker. You will not want to miss this engaging event. Go to futureofchristendom.org.
James White of Alpha Mega Ministries here. I'm very excited to announce that my longtime friend Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio and I are heading down to Atlanta, Georgia again for the G3 National Conference. That's Thursday, September 21st through Saturday the 23rd, on a theme that I have been preaching, teaching, writing about, and defending in live public debates for most of my life, the sovereignty of God. I'll be joined on the speaking roster by Steve Lawson, Vodi Balcom, Paul Washer, Virgil Walker, Scott Annual, and Josh Bice, founder of G3 Ministries. And there's more great news. Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio can get you a 30% discount off the registration fee. Go to g3min.org, that's g3min.org, and enter promo code G3ISIR. That's G3ISIR for the 30% discount. Chris Arnzen, I look forward to seeing you all Thursday, September 21st through Saturday the 23rd for the G3 National Conference in Atlanta, Georgia, on the sovereignty of God. Make sure you stop by the Iron Sharpens Iron radio exhibitor booth and say hi to Chris Arnzen while you're there. Go to g3min.org and enter promo code G3ISIR for your 30% discount off the registration fee.
Thank you. I'm Brian McLaughlin, president of the SecureCom Group and an enthusiastic supporter of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron radio program. The SecureCom Group provides the highest level of security, closed-circuit television, access control, and communication systems for Manhattan's top residential buildings, as well as churches, commercial properties, municipalities, and more. We custom install exactly what you need to protect yourself, including digital recording, off-site viewing, and connectivity from most smart devices. From simple code-activated systems to the latest technology using facial recognition, the SecureCom Group has it. We also provide the latest in intercom and IP telephone systems. In addition, we provide superior networking platforms. We'll create, maintain, and secure your local network. Whether it's a Wi-Fi or hardwire network, we'll implement the latest secured firewall, endpoint solutions, and cloud backup. I would love to have the honor and privilege of helping protect the lives and property of Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners and their associates. For more details on how the SecureCom Group may be of service to you with the very latest in security innovations, call 718-353-3355. That's 718-353-3355. Or visit securecomgroup.com. That's securecomgroup.com. This is Brian McLaughlin of the SecureCom Group, joining Chris Arnzen's family of advertisers to keep Iron Sharpens Iron radio on the air.
When Iron Sharpens Iron radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President and Professor of Systematic and Homiletical Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Taylor, South Carolina. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck White at the First Trinity Lutheran Church in Tonawanda, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Anthony Mathenia of Christ Church in Radford, Virginia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jesse Miller of Damascus Road Christian Church in Gardnerville, Nevada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Bruce Bennett of Word of Truth Church in Farmingville, Long Island, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rodney Brown of Metro Bible Church in Southlake, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jim Harrison of Red Mills Baptist Church in Mayapack Falls, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio praise God for the generous monthly financial support of Royal Diadem Jewelers, educated by and affiliated with the American Gem Society, Jewelers of America, and the Gemological Institute of America. For the perfect custom-designed engagement ring or any one-of-a-kind piece of jewelry created exactly according to your imagination and specifications, Royal Diadem Jewelers has you covered. No matter where you live in the world, Royal Diadem will walk you step-by-step through every stage of the process and even hold a high-tech internet virtual visit using state-of-the-art jewelry design technology to serve you. They start by listening carefully to determine your needs. They're interested in making what you want, not what they want to sell you. From rough design to digital model to photorealistic image to wax prototype model to the finished product, they are continually listening to your input, likes and dislikes, making any changes necessary along the way. This will ensure that your custom jewelry will turn out exactly as you dreamed and well beyond your expectations. Visit royaldiadem.com. That's royaldiadem.com today. Sterling Vanderwerker, owner of Royal Diadem Jewelers, his wife Bronnie, his business partner and manager Brian Wilson, and the entire family thank you all for listening to, praying for, and supporting the work of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And don't forget, folks, RoyalDiadem.com is still offering Iron Sharpens Iron Radio this absolutely mind-blowing opportunity. They are going to give us 100% of the profits from any sale to an Iron Sharpens Iron Radio listener who purchases their jewelry from RoyalDiadem.com and mentions Iron Sharpens Iron. It's as simple as that. Whether you are purchasing a piece of jewelry they already have in stock at RoyalDiadem.com, valued at $100 or more, or if you're having a piece of jewelry custom designed and created, like an engagement ring, or like taking your church logo, your parachurch ministry logo, your denomination logo, and turning it into a piece of jewelry. Or perhaps some of our Lutheran listeners want to take Luther's rose and turn it into a pendant for a necklace or a ring or something like that. Whatever your imagination and creativity can conjure up in your brain, they will take what's in your brain and turn it into a mind-blowing piece of physical jewelry. And I have seen firsthand the mastery that they have over custom designing and creating jewelry, and you can be assured that it will be created exactly according to your specifications because you are involved in every single step of the design and creation process. Through the miracle of computer software, no matter where you live in the world, you will be able to see every phase of the development of the creation process so you can say, hey, I love this, but I hate that. Or, hey, I just thought of this idea. Why don't you put this in there, et cetera, et cetera. So every phase of the creation process will involve your input. And then on top of all of that, you get a wax prototype of the final piece of jewelry mailed to you so that you can examine a three-dimensional piece of jewelry in wax form before you give the final okay for it to be created in gold, silver, or whatever metals you have decided to use. So please go to royaldiadem.com soon because we have no idea when they're going to pull the plug on this wonderful offer where we get 100% of the profits from any sale. That's royaldiadem.com. Always mention that you heard about them from Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. We're now back with Reverend Christopher I. Toma, senior pastor of Our Savior Evangelical Lutheran Church, which is a Lutheran Church Missouri Synod congregation in Heartland, Michigan. And we are discussing his book, 10 Ways to Kill a Pastor. I love the title of that book. It is definitely Martin Luther-esque and Martin Luther's way of phrasing things with an earthiness and humor that may even have some shock value to it. One of the things I love about Luther. What was the primary catalyst in your mind where you said to yourself, I've got to write this book on how to prevent congregations from killing their pastors? Obviously, we're not talking about an actual murder plot here. We're talking about ways that congregations of churches can either innocently and unconsciously or purposely drive their pastors into a state of harm and uselessness. So why don't you tell us what was the catalyst behind this?
Well, the catalyst was personal experiences, things that I went through as a pastor in the first few years of my ministry here at Our Savior. And so that's really it. I mean, that was a catalyst. Each one of the stories that I tell in this book, there's a total of 10 chapters, not including the foreword, intro, and a sort of an afterword, a closing. But each one of the stories is something that I have familiarity with, some sort of a personal experience in. I start off the book actually saying essentially that I don't remember ever wanting or ever expecting to write a book like this. I don't think any pastor who comes out of the seminary, because again, I was relatively new into the ministry, coming out of this, I don't think any pastor coming out of the seminary expects to experience the kinds of things that maybe are described in this book. And yet, while some of the things I did experience personally were over the top, crazy in a lot of ways, the things that I write about, and I do it in a narrative form, are things that I think every pastor will experience at one point or another. Now I experienced a massive amount of these things, but I think every pastor will get to know each one of these chapters in one way, shape, or form in their ministry. And so it's good, I think, to see it unfold in almost a real-time kind of a way, which is one reason why I write it that way. I write it as a narrative, as a story. I mean, you're reading a story, and you're putting yourself into the shoes of something that might seem a little familiar, and then when you get to its sort of its climactic point, you realize, you know, I have experienced this, or this is something I need to keep an eye out for in my own life.
Well, you start off at a place where I have very rarely seen books that involve the duties and responsibilities and qualifications of pastors start, or even sometimes include with much depth, other than perhaps a cursory inclusion of 1 Timothy 3:4-5, where Paul, the Apostle Paul, says that an elder must be one who manages his own household well, keeping his children under control with all dignity. But there isn't a lot that many people who write on this issue discuss when it comes to the wife of the pastor. Tell us about why you started off there.
Well, again, because I think pastors can easily overlook sort of the celebritous nature of the office. Now, I don't mean in any way, shape, or form that pastors are celebrities. Any pastor trying to be a celebrity, I think, has already excluded himself from being of much use to the church in a lot of ways. But there is the reality that the pastor is the one that the congregation has called to come and serve accordingly. And as that's happening, it's not uncommon for his wife to become more of an accessory than an actual person. That first narrative, that first story sort of portrays that. A pastor in a congregation where every time he shows up at something, this woman is simply introduced as his wife, not even necessarily using her first name. But after a while, that can become burdensome. It not only taxes the spouse, the wife, but it taxes the marriage as a whole. So pastors need to be aware of this possibility with their spouses, but congregations also need to be aware of it too, that the love that they're giving to their pastor, they're pouring on their pastor, that's something that needs to be shared specifically, directly, intentionally with his wife as well. I mean, she is a part of this, whether anyone is willing to admit it or not. She is. So focusing in on that, now paying attention to that and providing that care for the wife is just as important.
Well, we have our first listener question, and this listener is remaining anonymous. The listener asks, do you think that when churches examine and interview candidates for their pastoral ministry, which is vacant at the time, that they do not pour enough consideration into the wife of this candidate? She may be, in many respects, godly and obedient to the laws of God, but she may not have a personality that would be conducive to a pastor's wife. She may be a hermit. She may have many undesirable qualities that would be a hindrance to the flourishing of a pastor's ministry in a congregation. Am I overstepping here when I am focusing this deeply on a pastor's wife who is candidating for this office?
That's a very good question. I think there's probably some truth to that, that when I don't know how it works in some of the other denominations, but I know in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod when a call is issued. Before that call even comes, there are interviews with the candidates. So it sounds like there's a similar premise there. I think that could be true, that some of these interviews, in fact, any interview I've ever been on, it's never involved my wife. They've never asked her to be a part of the call. They've never asked any information about her. And in certain circumstances, it's not like I get calls all the time, but in certain interviews, I recall thinking that, you know, you'd really love my wife. My wife would really, hearing from her, talking with her, you would really see, I think, the value in a pastoral ministry, in her ability to be a normal human being in the midst of a bunch of other normal human beings. I think you just really benefit from getting to meet her or know her. So I think there could be something to that. Do I think that they should probably be more intent on interviewing a pastor and then also including his wife? Absolutely. I think that would probably be a benefit. The only thing I would add to this conversation, though, is I think part of the question, if I remember correctly, was this person, you know, is there concern about the wife having weird or having strange characteristics, being a recluse or being a... Well, it would be good for those people who are interviewing to know those kinds of things. But I would be careful to come in with certain expectations about the pastor and the wife and their marriage and impose them sort of superficially on what the job is that you need him to do. And what I mean by that is some wives, they are a blessing to that ministry because they're recluses. You know, you don't want them getting involved because if they do get involved, they will just seize control and take over. I mean, I don't mean that in a crass way. I just mean to say, depending upon what you want them to do, it might be a good idea. There might be a reason for that. I'm not throwing my own wife under the bus, but she does not teach Sunday school. She's not interested in teaching classes. She's not interested in doing any of those things. She's very much engaged. She's very much a figurehead in a sense. People know her and go to her, but she also works full time. We have four kids. She might seem like a recluse, but isn't. She's really a very dedicated spouse who's doing everything that she can to serve and support her congregation, but also to uphold her husband and his calls. So it would be good to have those conversations, but just because, you know, a pastor's wife doesn't want to teach Sunday school or something, don't let that ixnay the whole opportunity. I mean, you got to dig in, you got to ask questions and talk. Now, if she's weird, I mean, if they're just weird people, you know, I mean, that's one of my cardinal rules. When you're a pastor, don't be weird. Don't be a weirdo. You know, talk to the people. Be a part of the congregation. Don't be so strange that you can't be a human to another human.
I can recall, and my memory isn't totally clear on this story, but John Wesley apparently had a very difficult marriage, and there was some kind of a meeting of pastors where Wesley was he was late in arriving there, and he happened to walk in to the middle of a discussion where the men gathered were mocking Wesley's wife for being a contentious individual and for being a burden on Wesley's ministry, and they were joking about it. And Wesley said something to the effect of, "Gentlemen, my wife has made me a far better pastor than any of you, because I am far closer to God being married to my wife. She has driven me to my knees in prayer for far greater lengths than any of you would ever imagine." So,
yeah, that's right.
By the way, Anonymous, you have won a free copy of 10 Ways to Kill a Pastor. So please provide for us, obviously, anonymously through an email. It's going to be anonymous to our listeners. But divulge to me your full name and your mailing address, so that Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service, cvbbs.com, can ship this book out to you for free. And we want to thank our guest today, Reverend Christopher I. Toma, and his publishing ministry for shipping us out a limited number of copies to give away to listeners with questions. So thank you very much. And what do, in your experience, before we leave the category of the wife of the pastor, is there a common thing in your experience that is far too often an occurrence in the life of a church where congregants are approaching the wife of a pastor in a wrong way that can create hurt feelings and all kinds of things, either intentionally or unintentionally, that you have experienced or witnessed in the life of a church?
Yeah, I would say, again, to have those false expectations of her, that, again, going back to what I said before, expecting that just because she is the wife of the pastor that she ought to be teaching something or doing something in some sort of a leadership role in the congregation. That's not necessary. It's just not necessary. And if you have some sort of a blanket expectation on all pastors' wives that this would be the case, you're excluding the fact that each one of them is an individual with individual gifts. They're not gonna meet your expectations. They're gonna fall short. And then that can cause contention. It can also cause, because I would argue that a faithful pastor's wife is also a very humble, loving child of God. And when they can't do what they think they need to be doing, they're going to have these wrestling matches within themselves of guilt, feeling as though they're letting the congregation down, letting their husband down, talk to them, embrace them, let them engage in the ways that they want to engage, and in the ways that their gifts will produce fruit in the congregation to the glory of Christ. Don't impose what you think should be happening on them. That's actually the common thread throughout a lot of these narratives, that a lot of the damage that a congregation does to a pastor is by superimposing upon them things that are completely foreign to the scriptures. And you want to be careful there. The same goes for the wife. You don't want to do that to her.
Okay, we have to go to our midway break right now. And when we return from the break, I will read a question from a listener in Liberia, West Africa, for our guest today. And if you want to join this listener with a question of your own, submit it to chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. As always, give us your first name, at least city and state, and country of residence. Please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. And please, folks, be patient with us. This is the longer than normal break because Grace Life Radio, 90.1 FM in Lake City, Florida, who airs this program twice a day in a rerun format on the following day of its live broadcast, they require of us a longer break in the middle of the show because the FCC requires of them to localize this program geographically through their own public service announcements and other things that are local, while we simultaneously air our globally heard commercials. So please write down as much of the contact information as you possibly can for as many of our advertisers as you can so that you can more frequently and successfully respond to our advertisers. And when you can't pay for anything, you don't have enough resources to buy anything, at least contact their advertisers to thank them for sponsoring Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. And send in your questions to Christopher I. Toma to chrisarnson@gmail.com. We'll be right back after these messages.
The Mid-Atlantic Reformation Society presents The Future of Christendom 2023, The Gospel at War, September 15th through the 16th in Lancaster County, Pennsylvania. Featuring Dr. James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. Come join us for our 6th Future of Christendom Conference. The event will take place at Spooky Nook Sports in Mannheim, Pennsylvania, and will run from Friday evening through all day Saturday, with an invitation to the Sunday morning worship service of the Independence Reformed Bible Church. Registration is required, and lunch will be provided on Saturday. This will be a weekend packed with practical teaching, with the theme of the gospel at war in many areas of our culture, including government schools, the Supreme Court, missions, feminism, and even the church pulpits. Dr. James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries will be the keynote speaker. You will not want to miss this engaging event. Go to futureofchristendom.org.
James White of Alpha Omega Ministries here. I'm very excited to announce that my longtime friend Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio and I are heading down to Atlanta, Georgia again for the G3 National Conference. That's Thursday, September 21st through Saturday the 23rd, on a theme that I've been preaching, teaching, writing about, and defending in live public debates for most of my life, the sovereignty of God. I'll be joined on the speaking roster by Steve Lawson, Vody Balcom, Paul Washer, Virgil Walker, Scott Annual, and Josh Bice, founder of G3 Ministries. And there's more great news. Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio can get you a 30% discount off the registration fee. Go to g3min.org, that's g3min.org, and enter promo code G3ISIR. That's G3ISIR for the 30% discount. Chris Arnzen and I look forward to seeing you all Thursday, September 21st through Saturday the 23rd for the G3 National Conference in Atlanta, Georgia on the sovereignty of God. Make sure you stop by the Iron Sharpens Iron radio exhibitor booth and say hi to Chris Arnzen while you're there. Go to g3min.org and enter promo code G3ISIR for your 30% discount off the registration fee.
Such a blessing to hear from Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners from all over the world. Here's Joe Riley, a listener in Ireland, who wants you to know about a guest on the show he really loves hearing interviewed, Dr. Joe Moorcraft.
I'm Joe Riley, a faithful Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener here in Athy in County Kildare, Ireland, going back to 2005. One of my very favorite guests on Iron Sharpens Iron is Dr. Joe Moorcraft. If you've been blessed by Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Dr. Moorcraft and Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, are largely to thank, since they are one of the program's largest financial supporters. Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming is in Forsyth County, a part of the Atlanta metropolitan area. Heritage is a thoroughly biblical church, unwaveringly committed to Westminster standards, and Dr. Joe Moorcraft is the author of an 8-volume commentary on the larger catechism. Heritage is a member of the Hanover Presbytery, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, and tracing its roots and heritage back to the great Protestant Reformation of the 16th century. Heritage maintains and follows the biblical truth and principles proclaimed by the Reformers. Scripture alone, grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone, and God's glory alone. Their primary goal is the worship of the triune God that continues in eternity. For more details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. That's heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Or call 678-954-7831. That's 678-954-7831. If you visit, tell them Joe Riley, an Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener from Athy in County Kildare, Ireland, sent you.
If you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, one of the best ways you can help keep the show on the air is by supporting our advertisers. One such faithful advertiser who really believes in what Chris Arnzen is doing is Daniel P. Puttafuoco, serious injury lawyer and Christian apologist. Dan is the president and founder of the Historical Bible Society. Their mission? To foster belief in the credibility of Scripture as the written Word of God. They go to various churches, schools, and institutions to publicly display a rare collection of biblical texts, along with a fascinating presentation by Mr. Butterfucco demonstrating the reliability of Scripture. To advance the cause of the gospel, they created a beautiful, perfect facsimile of the genealogy of Jesus Christ from the original engravings contained in a first edition 1611 King James Bible. This 17th century hand-engraved chart shows the family tree of Jesus Christ going back to Adam and Eve. This book is complete with gorgeous full-size illustrations of Noah's Ark and the Tower of Babel, and an explanation of why the genealogy of Jesus is so important for his claims to the throne of the universe. Originals of this work are in museums, and nobody has ever made it accessible to the public in a large book form before. You can have your own copy of this 44-page genealogy book for a donation of $35 or more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org. That's historicalbiblesociety.org. Thanks for helping to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
Getting a driver's license, running a cash register, flipping burgers, passing sixth grade. Do you know what they all have in common? They all require training, assessments, and certifications. But do you know what requires no training at all? Becoming a parent. My name is A.M. Brewster. I'm the president of Truth, Love, Parent, and host of its award-winning podcast. I've been a biblical family counselor since the early 2000s, and what I've discovered is that the majority of Christian parents have never been biblically equipped to do the work of the ministry in their homes. That's why Truth, Love, Parent exists. We serve God by equipping dads and moms to be the ambassador parents God called and created them to be. We produce free parenting resources, train church leaders, and offer biblical counseling so that the next generation of dads and moms can use the scriptures to parent their children for life and godliness. Please visit us at truthloveparent.com.
Puritan Reformed is a Bible-believing, kingdom-building, devil-fighting church. We are devoted to upholding the apostolic doctrine and practice preserved in Scripture alone. Puritan Reformed teaches men to rule and lead as image-bearing prophets, priests, and kings. We teach families to worship together as families. Puritan is committed to teaching the whole counsel of God so that the earth will be filled with the knowledge of God as the waters cover the sea. We sing the Psalms, teach the law, proclaim the gospel, make disciples, maintain discipline, and exalt Christ. This is Pastor David Reese of Puritan Reformed in Phoenix, Arizona. Join us in the glorious cause of advancing Christ's crown and covenant over the kings of the earth. Puritan Reformed Church. Believe, build, fight. PuritanPHX.com.
Every day at thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus. Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York, by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959. We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above. For details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333. Or visit liyfc.org. That's liyfc.org.
Hi.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnzen and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joe Moorcraft, pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church in Cumming, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Anthony Uvino, founder of TheReformRookie.com and co-founder of New York Apologetics, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Tim Bushong of Syracuse Baptist Church in Syracuse, Indiana, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Eli Ayala, founder of Revealed Apologetics and staff member with the Historical Bible Society, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Josh Miller of Grace Bible Fellowship Church in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Joe Bianchi, president of Calvary Press Publishing in Greenville, South Carolina, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jake Korn of Switzerland Community Church in Switzerland, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to NASBible.com. That's NASBible.com to place your order.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And always make solid-ground-books.com your very first stop for all your gift-giving needs. They bring back into print and also publish for the very first time nothing but the finest in Christian literature dating back as far as the 16th century Protestant Reformation, and extending forward to our current day, including such modern authors as Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. So go to solid-ground-books.com frequently, purchase generously. Always mention that you heard about them from Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Before I return to my conversation with Reverend Christopher I. Toma and his book, 10 Ways to Kill a Pastor, We just have a couple of very important announcements to make. If you love this show, folks, and you do not want it to go away, please go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You can donate instantly with a debit or credit card in that fashion. If you prefer snail mail, the old-fashioned way, sending a physical check to a physical address at your post office, well, there will also be a physical address that appears on your screen when you click support at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can mail your checks made payable to Iron Sharp and Zion Radio. If you want to advertise with us, whether it is your church, your parachurch ministry, your business, your professional practice like a law firm or a medical firm, or if it's just a special event you want to promote, whatever it is, as long as it's compatible with what I believe, I would love to help you launch an ad campaign, because we are just as much in urgent need of your advertising dollars as we are in your donations. So send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put advertising in the subject line. Remember, folks, I never want anybody in my audience who is giving to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially to cut in to the finances that you have set aside to give to your own church where you're a member on the Lord's Day in order to bless us with a financial gift. Please never do that. Never give your own church less money than you ordinarily do in order to bless us financially. Also, if you're really struggling to survive and make ends meet financially, wait until you are back on your feet and more financially stable before you send us a gift. There are two things very clear in the Bible about our finances. We are commanded to provide for our church and our family, and providing for this radio show is obviously not a command of God. But if you love the show, you don't want it to disappear from the airwaves, and you do have extra money collecting interest in the bank, you have extra money for benevolent, recreational, and trivial purposes, well, please share some of that money with us if you really want us to stick around. Go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. I also want to remind you that there is a three-day conference coming up September 15th, 16th, and 17th. That's Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, featuring my very dear friend, Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. The theme of the conference is The Gospel at War, and it will be held at the Spooky Nook Sports and Event Center in Mannheim, Pennsylvania, which is in the Lancaster County area. And this is supposed to be a spectacular, gorgeous venue where the Republican candidate for governor not long ago used this facility for a major campaign event. And during this conference, there will also be a debate on the theme, is gay Christian a biblically acceptable identity for a member of Christ's church? That position will be affirmed by Dr. James R. White's debate opponent, Gregory Coles. So if you want to register for this event and you want to get the best price possible, go to futureofchristendom.org, futureofchristendom.org, and register early to get a very nice discount. Also, especially perhaps for my Lutheran friends listening today, I have another Lutheran I am going to be interviewing next Wednesday, the 26th of July, Pastor Evan McClanahan, who is the pastor of First Lutheran Church in Houston, Texas. So I hope you join us then as well. But please join us every day, Monday through Friday, on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Lastly, if you are not a member of a Christ-honoring, biblically faithful, theologically sound, doctrinally solid church like Our Savior Evangelical Lutheran Church of Heartland, Michigan, well, please send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put I Need a Church in the subject line. I have extensive lists spanning the globe of biblically faithful churches and may be able to help you find a church, possibly even with a few minutes from where you live, as I have done with many people in our audience spanning the globe. So send that email to me as quickly as you can to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put I Need a Church in the subject line. That's also the email address where you could send in a question to Reverend Christopher I. Toma on our theme, 10 Ways to Kill a Pastor. That's chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name at least, your city and state, and your country of residence. And as I said before the break, we have a first-time questioner from Liberia, West Africa, and I love his name, being the red-blooded, thoroughgoing Calvinist that I am. His name is Sovereign. I love that name. Sovereign in Liberia, West Africa, says, "Hi, Chris and Pastor Christopher. I want to know what if you feel called to be a minister, but you do not sense that seriousness in the things of the Lord on the part of the one to whom you want to get married. What should you do? You have an answer for a sovereign in Liberia, West Africa, Pastor Toma? Uh-oh. Is Pastor Toma with us? Oh, no. We have...
I'm here.
Oh, I thought the tornado knocked you out. By the way...
No.
Perhaps
it's actually the sun just came out, so we're actually doing much better down here.
Oh, great.
That's a really good question. So essentially he's saying, I want to be a pastor, but the one I would like to marry is not all that interested. Is that essentially the nature of the
That's what he says. But he hasn't actually indicated whether he even believes she's regenerate, whether she's a real Christian or not. He just says,
yeah.
You don't sense that seriousness in the things of the Lord. I think his greatest concern would be whether or not he should marry her to begin with.
Well, yeah, I guess that'd kind of be my question. I'd say shoot straight, man. Run away. The Lord will find you. You know, the Lord will provide you with a wife according to his good and gracious will, if that is his will. But you certainly don't want to be unequally yoked. You don't want to find yourself trying to serve accordingly and have someone there in your life who is tearing at that. That would be troubling. So
yeah, well let me change his question around a little bit. Suppose he is married to this woman, but he's married to her already. Should he enter into the ministry or even consider that if he has a wife that is not serious about the things of the Lord?
Well, I'm going to say that if he's called to the ministry, if he's called to be a pastor, who are you to tell the Lord, no, I'm not going to go? I mean, that didn't work out too well for Jonah. I'd be very careful to discern that, to take great care with that. You may want to be a pastor, but not be called to be one. I've run into plenty of guys like that.
Okay, so to clarify, you actually believe it is acceptable that a man is an acceptable candidate to become a minister of the gospel if his wife is not even a believer? Let's say she's Jewish or Muslim or an atheist.
Well, in the microcosmic sense, there are certain things I think that are going to exclude you. Yeah, you're going to have a lot of problems if you try that. I guess what I'm saying is that the Lord is the one who chooses this. It's not you. So... discern it. Be very, very careful. Use your reason and your senses to understand this too. He has given those as gifts to us. You're going to want to land, I think, in an area where you realize, do I just want to be a pastor or am I actually called to be a pastor? Again, I've run into plenty of guys who want to be pastors, but they are not pastor material. They are not. If I'm going to judge that about them, they're not pastor material. I'll go back to something I said before. They're not pastor material just because in a very basic sense, they're just weird. I mean, again, I hate to say it that way. But I mean, if you're not, you have to be able to, there's a certain sensibility about you where you have to be able to be one normal human being to another normal human being and be able to communicate that gospel. If there's something maybe that's extraordinarily inhibitive there, I mean, you might be called to something else. I mean, it might not be the job you've got. So I don't know. I've never really thought about that question in depth, but.
Well, I'm assuming if a man, regardless of whether or not she is a believer, wouldn't you say a man is only qualified for the ministry if she is supportive of him entering into the ministry?
Yeah, I would tend to say that. I think that would be necessary because that falls within the mandates, the requirements, the qualifications for a pastor that he manage, that he oversee his own house, and that his children be raised accordingly in the faith. You have to have those kinds of things in place. So Now, that's not to say things don't change. So, for example, I think we do have examples in history of one spouse praying diligently and seeing over the course of time that other spouse coming to the Lord. So, but that's a separate category. That's a little bit of a different compartment than pastoral ministry.
Well, Sovereign, we would love to mail you a copy of 10 Ways to Kill a Pastor, but...
Liberia is a ways away. That's pretty crazy.
Yeah, but. So that's why we can't do it, because Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service only mails winners of books and Bibles to listeners who submit questions in the 50 states of America, and therefore, since they cannot ship a copy to you... If you have a family member, friend, or loved one in the United States that you would like us to ship this book to, we will ship it to that person, and you can either intend that for a gift for them, or you can ask them to ship it to you. Oh, and I've already got an answer from Sovereign. He has a friend in Willingboro, New Jersey, where he wants the book sent. So we will ship it to that individual. Thank you for being very quick with your response, Sovereign, and keep listening to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, and keep spreading the word in West Africa and beyond about our program. Before I go to any other listener questions right now, please let's move on to your next chapter in the book that you have titled Anonymous.
Yeah, the anonymous, that's the thing that pastors get. They get that anonymous letter left for them, and it's always written in a way that's, well, not always, but written in a way that's meant to be concerned, you know, sharing general information, but in the end is it meant also to sting and meant to hurt and meant to divide.
And the whole concept of making sure that we are not a burden to a pastor, that we are not a burden by being a fly in the ointment, a wrench in the gear system. Don't we have to be careful when we are passionate about certain things that we believe that may be of secondary and tertiary importance, that we not make ourselves a nuisance in the church, not only to the pastor, but stirring up dissension within the congregation itself?
Yeah, I agree with you. I think we have to be mindful of those things. I can't imagine, I don't know too many pastors that actually wake up every day and think, how can I anger the people I'm serving? How can I, what can I do to really tick them off today? you know, what can I do to attack this person or that person? I can't imagine I've met any pastors that actually do that on a regular basis. Now on the other hand, I think I can say that pastors, and I say this in good conscience, good faith, that pastors wake up in the morning. I'll speak for myself here. We wake up in the morning and realize I cannot be faithful to you as the Lord would have me be if I'm not faithful to him first. I cannot love you if I don't love him more. And so when that type of a relationship, when that type of a ministry is unfolding, you're going to find that the pastor, with good intention, and sometimes mistaken, admittedly, but with good intention, is not out to hurt you, or not out to say that maybe the things that concern you are not of some sort of importance to the congregation. But he is first and foremost giving his allegiance not to the people he's serving, but to the God who called him to serve, and that changes the relationship in a lot of ways. The story I tell in that second chapter is one that I think is very practical, because, and it's one that's becoming even more practical, even though I, or more pertinent because I, even though I wrote this, what, 10 years ago, maybe now, something like that, you know, somebody was refused the sacrament in a congregation because they were living together. And the argument is made that because they were intending to get married, they're not married yet, but they're living together. And because they intended to get married, the pastor shouldn't have done that, that he made a huge mistake. And he offended a very wealthy family, someone giving money and supporting longtime members, blah, blah, blah. Through all of these criteria toward the pastor that they expected would steer his decision making rather than the simple biblical mandate with regard to marriage and what it means and what it's all about. I think the people in congregations can find themselves confused in that kind of stuff. And when the pastor responds in faithfulness to the Word of God, he's not doing that because he hates that family or he's trying to undermine somebody. Again, he's trying to be faithful to the Lord first and foremost. And that, when you're doing that, that will be blessed. The Lord promises that. So that's kind of a practical, again, it's a singular narrative that tells just sort of one example of a story, but that's some of the stuff that sort of comes at us in an anonymous way. I suppose I should add, too, that I don't even read anonymous notes anymore. I don't know about you, Chris, but if you ever get some sort of an anonymous note, I rip it up. I open it up and I look for a signature. If I don't have a name and even maybe a contact, I throw it away. So there's no point in writing me an anonymous note.
Well, I guess on my radio program, it's different when a listener sends in an anonymous question.
Yeah.
Because sometimes,
but I mean, if you get an anonymous note written to you, they know who Chris is, and they and they follow you in your car, and you stop at Walmart or whatever, and they put a note on your car, and it's anonymous. I would say just take that home, or take it into the Walmart bathroom and wrap it up in the toilet paper roll, because that's the best place for it to be used.
And to add to your comment about forbidding the sacrament to people who are fornicating or living in sin, as the old saying goes, don't they have to remember the words of Proverbs 27:6? Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. It is far better for you to be concerned over their soul than their feelings, isn't it?
Amen. But again, you know, we're living in a radically individualized time when no one can be wrong. I think this is a big part of our problem as a society. No one can be wrong. Anything that you feel has to have a sense of rightness to it. And an unwillingness, a general unwillingness to recognize that there is a standard above all standards. When we die, we're going to be held to God's standard, not our own. Whether you believe that or not. And the pastor is there not executing this standard or enforcing this standard as an overlord, but rather as one who gives it in love, who recognizes that we're on a course in our sin, according to our sin nature, in a course away from God, and God has provided us with a way of redemption, and it's a better way. And here's what that way looks like. This is something that, while it stings the sin nature and it stings that radical individual, that radically individualized self, it's better, and it's actually something that's born from love, not anything else.
And we have RJ in White Plains, New York, who has a question. RJ in White Plains, New York, says, "Is it dangerous for a pastor to develop friendships within the congregation that are obviously publicly and overtly closer than he has with most of the other folks who are members of that congregation?" In other words, something that looks like it's favoritism, I guess he's saying.
You know, God shows no favoritism, so he's not a respecter of persons. A pastor, I don't think, should be showing favoritism to anybody. It got a little choppy there in the question, but I thought what I was hearing too was, should a pastor be forming relationships with outside folks outside of the congregation, having strong relationships there just as much as he's got on the inside. So serving others outside the parish just as much as he's serving those on the inside. If that's part of the question, I think, again, you have to be mindful there, too. Pastors, their first and foremost responsibility is to their members, to the people who are part of their congregation. I can give you sort of a practical example. And another one of my books, The Angels Portion, is not one we're talking about, but it's I give sort of an example of how churches are often becoming these drive-through restaurants. You know, I mean, people will pop in on occasion because they want a baptism or they need a marriage or they need a funeral or something. And they're not connected to the congregation in any way. They're not members. And they just expect to be able to order these things up and that the pastor's going to do them. Now, pastors are not obligated in that sense to do that. Those are opportunities for mission work, for opportunities for evangelism, certainly. But as they're doing those kinds of things, if it does prohibit their ability to serve their own people, you got to be careful with that kind of stuff. You're not obligated to do those things. And in fact, I would argue that pastors that just do that, you know, and they require nothing in a spiritual sense of the people that come in, are actually making life harder on the rest of us who are actually trying to catechize people, who are actually trying to teach people. You're training people that it's okay to treat religion, to treat the church that way. You shouldn't be doing it.
Well, RJ, you have won the free copy of 10 Ways to Kill a Pastor. Please send us your full mailing address so that Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service, cvbbs.com, can ship that book out to you. Your chapter, The Clandestine Agenda, almost sounds like a question I already asked you about people who have like an agenda to start a division in the body because they have a pet peeve that is a secondary or tertiary issue, and they will never stop speaking about it. Am I on the right track here, or is it on a different agenda?
Yeah, I think the anonymous note is the way people do it with cowardice. The clandestine agenda is the way people do it with a boldness, a crass boldness. So it's they're both similar in tenor, but they both have the same agenda, I think.
Now, somebody responded to the social media publicity of this show, and they said, "I'll bet you exhaustion has something to do with a way to kill a pastor," and that's certainly one of your chapter heads. So why don't you tell us about
it? It is. Well, by exhaustion, just working the guy to death. The story in the volume tells, you know, it's a narrative about the pastor who he finally gets his break. You know, he finally gets his day off, and but there's other things going on in the congregation. They're in the middle of a call process. They're trying to find a teacher or whatever, if I remember the story correctly. And he's made plans with his family to go and do something. But the head elder, whoever, calls and says, "Hey, we got to get on this right away. We got to make these calls. We got to accomplish these things. We don't have a lot of time. By the way, Pastor, I'm taking off for the weekend. Get back to me when you've made these calls." The pastor does need to disconnect. He needs to get away. He needs to be insulated in that. Now, I'm sort of a hypocrite. It sounds kind of ridiculous for me to even give this kind of advice because I haven't taken a day off in probably 15 years.
Wow, you're kidding me.
Other than we did start taking a 2-week vacation several years ago. So we go away for 2 weeks. But
okay.
Technically, my day off is Friday, and I'm in my office every Friday. I'm always here because that's my day to catch up on things I couldn't get caught up on the rest of the week. But I have a little bit of a different pace probably. But my point is that, you, when you need that time away, you've got to take it. And the congregation has to be mindful of that. They recognize things have to be done. But they need to insulate their pastor and give him the opportunity to take a break, to take a breather, namely take time with his family. He needs that time. Mm-hmm. It's very, very important.
Now, isn't one of the very reasons in the God-breathed words of Scripture that a diaconate was designed by God is to free up the time of the pastor to be dedicating himself specifically to those unique things, that a pastor has as a part of his duties rather than to be
right.
Mowing the lawn and things like that?
Yeah, I think that's true. Acts chapter 6, you know, that's where we get that that word, and the pastors will be devoted to the word and prayer. We're not going to be waiting on tables. We're not, or as a modern rendition is, we're not going to be mowing the grass. Now, let me reel that back in a little bit. The people around here know, at least I'm sure some of them do, that on occasion, it's not my job to mop the nave, to go in and mop the sanctuary floors or anything like that, or to mow the grass, but I'll do that kind of stuff. The reason I'll do that is because I'm the kind of guy, I know that in pastoral ministry, you never see projects ended. It's just one thing after the next. It's the same thing. You know, just because you wrote the sermon this week doesn't mean there isn't going to be another sermon next week. You never really see things come to a completion. And so one of the ways that I sort of unwind actually is to go into the church and mop the floor. I can see starting at one side and ending at the other side and the whole place is clean. I'm done there. I've done it. You know, and I do that, you know, just in that sense. I guess going back to what you're talking about here, the pastors, they need to be able to not be in every single thing that's going on. They don't have to be in every single meeting. They don't have to be in every single detail of this and that and this and that. That's what God's people are there to do, and we do it together as a body of believers.
And as a Reformed Baptist, I have seen many a pastor mopping up the floor with a congregant during a church discipline session. I'm only kidding.
Well, just, it got a little rough and rugged, I'm guessing.
Just kidding, folks. We're going.
Well, again, I don't want to bemoan either the pastors who maybe want to do or who do that stuff. I mean, sometimes you have to do that stuff. But again, I think some of those things are very therapeutic. Mm-hmm. You can see something being done, right. And that's often very helpful.
Well, we're going to our final break, and if you have a question that you'd like to send, please do it immediately because we're rapidly running out of time. ChrisArnson@gmail.com. ChrisArnson@gmail.com. Don't go away. We'll be right back after these messages.
The Mid-Atlantic Reformation Society presents The Future of Christendom 2023, The Gospel at War, September 15th through the 16th in Lancaster County, Pennsylvania, featuring Dr. James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. Come join us for our 6th Future of Christendom Conference. The event will take place at Spooky Nook Sports in Mannheim, Pennsylvania, and will run from Friday evening through all day Saturday, with an invitation to the Sunday morning worship service of the Independence Reformed Bible Church. Registration is required, and lunch will be provided on Saturday. This will be a weekend packed with practical teaching, with the theme of the gospel at war in many areas of our culture, including government schools, the Supreme Court, missions, feminism, and even the church pulpits. Dr. James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries will be the keynote speaker. You will not want to miss this engaging event. Go to futureofchristendom.org.
James White of Alpha Omega Ministries here. I'm very excited to announce that my longtime friend Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio and I are heading down to Atlanta, Georgia again for the G3 National Conference. That's Thursday, September 21st through Saturday the 23rd, on a theme that I've been preaching, teaching, writing about, and defending in live public debates for most of my life, the sovereignty of God. I'll be joined on the speaking roster by Steve Lawson, Vodi Balcom, Paul Washer, Virgil Walker, Scott Annual, and Josh Bice, founder of G3 Ministries. And there's more great news. Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio can get you a 30% discount off the registration fee. Go to g3min.org. That's g3min.org. And enter promo code G3ISIR. That's G3ISIR for the 30% discount. Chris Arnson and I look forward to seeing you all Thursday, September 21st through Saturday the 23rd for the G3 National Conference in Atlanta, Georgia on the sovereignty of God. Make sure you stop by the Iron Sharpens Iron radio exhibitor booth and say hi to Chris Arnson while you're there. Go to g3min.org and enter promo code G3ISIR for your 30% discount off the registration fee.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, professor of apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I have been invited to speak and have grown to love. Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
Brian McLaughlin, president of the SecureCom Group and an enthusiastic supporter of Chris Arnson's Iron Sharpens Iron radio program. The SecureCom Group provides the highest level of security, closed-circuit television, access control, and communication systems for Manhattan's top residential buildings, as well as churches, commercial properties, municipalities, and more. We custom install exactly what you need to protect yourself, including digital recording, off-site viewing, and connectivity from most smart devices. From simple code-activated systems to the latest technology using facial recognition, the SecureCom Group has it. We also provide the latest in intercom and IP telephone systems. In addition, we provide superior networking platforms. We'll create, maintain, and secure your local network. Whether it's a Wi-Fi or hardwire network, we'll implement the latest secured firewall, endpoint solutions, and cloud backup. I would love to have the honor and privilege of helping protect the lives and property of Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners and their associates. For more details on how the SecureCom Group may be of service to you with the very latest in security innovations, call 718-353-3355. That's 718-353-3355. Or visit securecomgroup.com. That's securecomgroup.com. This is Brian McLaughlin of the SecureCom Group, joining Chris Arnson's family of advertisers to keep Iron Sharpens Iron radio on the air.
Puritan Reformed is a Bible-believing, kingdom-building, devil-fighting church. We're devoted to upholding the apostolic doctrine and practice preserved in Scripture alone. Puritan Reformed teaches men to rule and lead as image-bearing prophets, priests, and kings. We teach families to worship together as families. Puritan is committed to teaching the whole counsel of God so that the earth will be filled with the knowledge of God as the waters cover the sea. We sing the Psalms, teach the law, proclaim the gospel, make disciples, maintain discipline, and exalt Christ. This is Pastor David Rees of Puritan Reformed in Phoenix, Arizona. Join us in the glorious cause of advancing Christ's crown and covenant over the kings of the earth. Puritan Reformed Church. Believe, build, fight. PuritanPHX.com.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President Emeritus and Professor of Systematic and Applied Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary. Every Christian who's serious about the Reformed faith and the Westminster Standards should have and use the 8-volume commentary on the theology and ethics of the Westminster Larger Catechism titled Authentic Christianity by Dr. Joseph Moorcraft. It is much more than an exposition of the Larger Catechism. It is a thoroughly researched work that utilizes biblical exegesis as well as historical and systematic theology. Dr. Moorcraft is pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, and I urge everyone looking for a biblically faithful church in that area to visit that fine congregation. For details on the 8-volume commentary, go to westminstercommentary.com, westminstercommentary.com. For details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com, heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Please tell Dr. Moorcraft and the saints at Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, that Dr. Joseph Piper of Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary sent you.
Hello, my name is Anthony Uvinio, and I'm one of the pastors at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York, and also the host of the ReformRookie.com website. I want you to know that if you enjoy listening to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show like I do, you can now find it on the Apple's iTunes app by typing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in the search bar. You no longer have to worry about missing a show or a special guest because you're in your car or still at work. Just subscribe on the iTunes app and listen to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show at any time, day or night. Please be sure to also give it a good review and pass it along to anyone who would benefit from the teaching and the many solidly reformed guests that Chris Arnson has on the show. Truth is so hard to come by these days, so don't waste your time with fluff or fake news. Subscribe to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio podcast right now. And while you're at it, you can also sign up for the ReformRookie.com podcast and visit our website and the YouTube page. We are dedicated to teaching Christian theology from a Reformed Baptist perspective to beginners in the faith as well as seasoned believers. From Keach's Catechism and the Doctrines of Grace to the Olivet Discourse and the Book of Leviticus, the Reformed Rookie podcast and YouTube channel is sure to have something to offer everyone seeking biblical truth. And finally, if you're looking to worship in a Reformed church that holds to the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith, please join us at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York. Again, I'm Pastor Anthony Uvinio, and thanks for listening.
This is Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasso wishing you all the richest blessings of our Sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
Getting a driver's license, running a cash register, flipping burgers, passing sixth grade.
Do you know what they all have in common? They all require training, assessments, and certifications. But do you know what requires no training at all? Becoming a parent. My name is A.M. Brewster. I'm the president of Truth, Love, Parent, and host of its award-winning podcast. I've been a biblical family counselor since the early 2000s, and what I've discovered is that the majority of Christian parents have never been biblically equipped to do the work of the ministry in their homes. That's why Truth, Love, Parent exists. We serve God by equipping dads and moms to be the ambassador parents God called and created them to be. We produce free parenting resources, train church leaders, and offer biblical counseling so that the next generation of dads and moms can use the scriptures to parent their children for life and godliness. Please visit us at truthloveparent.com.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Pastor Nate Pickowitz of Harvest Bible Church in Gilmanton Iron Works, New Hampshire, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I am Pastor Rich Jensen of Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Sule Prince of Oakwood Wesleyan Church in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor John Sampson of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck Volo of New Life Community Church in Kingsville, Maryland, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Steve Herford of Eastport Baptist Church in Jacksonville, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Roy Owens Jr. of the Church at Friendship in Hockley, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nestle Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
Welcome back. And folks, you've been hearing commercials regularly for the Historical Bible Society on this program. Don't forget that that organization is founded by Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, a serious injury and medical malpractice attorney. So if you are the victim of a serious accident or medical malpractice, whatever state you live in the 50 states of the United States, go to the website 1-800-NOW-HURT.com, 1-800-NOW-HURT.com, or also call them at 1-800-NOW-HURT, 1-800-NOW-HURT. We're now back with Reverend Christopher I. Toma, and we have reached a point where we are going to address something that I think is an epidemic proportion in the body of Christ, muzzling the ox, if you could, expand upon that.
So muzzling the ox, not paying the pastor accordingly, not taking care of his needs. The story I tell in the volume essentially is about how the pastor often finds himself having to cut back on certain things, some normal things that a lot of other folks might not have to cut back on, but even to the point of where they need to do certain things just to afford medications or whatever. And one of the things that I think you'll find amongst pastors is perhaps, and I think this is relevant to that particular chapter, that pastors are often humble in the sense that they won't go to the church council or to whatever governing body is there and say, hey, I need the help, because there is this interpretation or this translation that they're somehow being greedy. One of the ways I think that you can solve this problem is by those pastors having a good relationship with maybe, let's say, a board of elders, a group of servants in the congregation who work closely with the pastor to know not only keep tabs maybe on what it is that he's preaching and teaching, to make sure that what he's doing is in alignment with the Word of God, but that he's being cared for, that they know what's going on in his personal life, that he has the ability to confide in them and say, hey, these are needs, these are very real needs that we have. As you read the book, I think you're going to see that element spread throughout the entire thing, thread through the entire thing. It matters with regard to exhaustion. It matters with regard to his wife becoming somebody who just blends in with the wall everywhere they go. It happens in a lot of these circumstances. If you have a body there in the congregation that is concerned for the well-being of the church, of the pastor specifically, that can solve a lot of these troubles.
And we have Christopher in Amityville, Long Island, New York, my hometown where I was born and raised. Christopher says, isn't there also a very serious way in which pastors are muzzled when congregants complain and intimidate them not to speak on things, although true, that are just insulting and unpopular and politically incorrect?
Yeah, but that I'm not going to throw that on the congregants. I'm going to throw that one on the pastors. That's something where,
they should have the courage of their conviction.
Yeah. I stopped caring about that stuff a long time ago. I can't love my people if I don't love my Lord more. So
yes.
But I think there are reasons why the pastors do that, and that does come back around to the parishioners. And I could certainly expound on that if we've got time.
Well, why don't you do that now? We have 4 minutes.
I think it's implied in the question. The pastors are most often will not do these things because they're afraid of the people. I mean, they're afraid, again, of offending someone. They're afraid. They know that when they say something that's offensive, the numbers go down, the giving goes down, the attendance goes down. Well, keep in mind, again, one, you're being faithful to the Lord, first and foremost. Two, Christ did not guarantee that the church would grow. I mean, he did say, when the Son of Man returns, will he find faith on the earth? Of course, he will. I mean, the gates of hell will never prevail against the gospel. However, your job is not success. Your job is faithfulness. There's that. Second of all, I think a lot of pastors do that because they don't understand the Johnson Amendment. They have a fundamental misunderstanding with regard to what they can and cannot do as a pastor in a congregation, whether it's teaching or preaching from the pulpit. They don't understand these things. And then the last thing I'd say is that they've got a fundamental misunderstanding with regard to the two kingdoms doctrine, the theology of the kingdom of the left and the kingdom of the right, the places where the church is supposed to engage and the places where the state is supposed to engage, where those two cross over and meet with one another. And then when things go south in either one of those kingdoms, who's supposed to set the other one in order? I think that they don't understand these things. And so they find themselves shrinking back into fear knowing that if they say the wrong thing, do the wrong thing, either the people or the government's coming after them. That's a bunch of baloney. It's a bunch of nonsense. Some study would, I think, in many ways, kindle the flame of that courage for them to speak boldly and to speak faithfully.
Well, Christopher, send us your full mailing address in Amityville, Long Island, and cvbbs.com will ship 10 Ways to Kill a Pastor out to you. Well, I have really enjoyed today's conversation, Reverend Toma. I hope that you've enjoyed it just as much, because I'd like to have you back on the program. And
I'd be happy to. That'd be great.
Great, because we still only got halfway through your 10 Ways to Kill a Pastor.
Well, I have 12 more books, too, we can talk about if you want.
That's fine. And and I want to remind our listeners how they can get this book if they did not win one today. You can go to the website of the publisher, which is angelsportion.com, angelsportion.com. And don't forget about the website of the church that our guest today is pastoring. That is Our Savior Evangelical Lutheran Church and School in Michigan, Heartland, Michigan. Go to oursaviorheartland.org, oursavior, H-A-R-T-L-A-N-D.org. I want to thank you so much for being such a superb guest today. I want to thank everybody who listened, especially those who took the time to write in questions. I want to thank God for sparing the show today by not having a tornado ruin our show by knocking us off the air. Because there is a tornado in my guest's area. And I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.